the Heart of Hospice podcast. I'm Helen Bauer.
And I'm Jerry Fenter.
Our mission at the Heart of Hospice is to enhance the hospice experience for hospice patients, personal caregivers, and hospice professionals by providing information about end-of-life care.
We interviewed a special guest today. His name is John Braddock, and John is the founder and CEO of My Life and Wishes. This was very, very enlightening.
It really was. Very informative. It made me really think.
It did, and it made me realize that I need to get my act together.
Yeah, I think we both had this sort of deer in the headlights. Oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of stuff we need to take care of.
Right, and yeah, I'm getting older, and it kind of makes me a little bit more aware of the need to organize my life. Mm-hmm. How's that sound?
At your age, I think that's a good idea.
Thanks.
So My Life and Wishes is an online service that allows a person to create a secure end-of-life plan and a digital record, so web-based, to share information about finances, insurance, wills, legal documents, and funeral or memorial service wishes.
Right. So all this information that we have been sharing in the past about, you know, advanced care planning, this is an expanded version of this. It's also the healthcare planning that you need to take care of. You know, deciding who your medical power of attorney is, setting up a will, setting up advanced directives. It's that and more.
Right. All the financial pieces. So basically, it's one-stop shopping. And we talked about this with John. It's a wide range of services so that your person who is taking care of you when you get to the end of your life, they can go in, open that up, and everything that they would need, all the documents could be scanned in if needed, and it's all right there.
Right. Okay, I have a question for you.
What?
How many passwords do you have?
You know, this is a trick question. I'm being set up for this.
You are. I am setting you up.
So let's say, either way, because I'm going to ask you the same question, I'm going to look better. I'll say I have 30. How many do you have?
Oh, I'm not sure I can even count. Probably more than 50.
I think that may be messed up.
That's bad.
So we each have an app on our phones that keeps those things secure.
Right.
However, there's one password to get into that secure app that has all our passwords. And who else knows that password into your app?
Nobody.
No, nobody knows mine either.
Right. So if something should happen to either one of us, how are people going to know what our passwords are? For things as simple as Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the apps that we have, all the different places, all these accounts.
And then the more complicated stuff, bank accounts.
Yes.
And I realized, I asked my husband after we talked with John, do I know the password to your passwords? And the answer is no, I don't.
Right. And so what happens if we're not able to give people those passwords? All of a sudden, all those things that we have established out there in the cyber world, they can't get into it.
Right.
What John has created, this My Life and Wishes, is a way to compile all of this information into one place. It's secure. It's not going to be lost in flood or burned in a fire. It can't be taken away.
Exactly. So John and his wife, Michelle, co-founded the service, this company, created it after the death of her father. And John's going to talk about that on the interview. Basically, what it comes down to is they learned the hard way why these things are necessary.
Right. This is usually how most things are created, is from experience.
Yes.
Learning from the problems that occurred and trying to find a way to solve the problems. And that's exactly what they did.
So here's our interview with John Braddock of My Life and Wishes.
We are excited today to have John Braddock with us. John Braddock is an entrepreneur, a speaker, and author. He's been the author of several books. Advisor or Vendor is one. Retire Ease is another, and the Amazon bestseller called Click Here When I Die. He has served as president and CEO of Benefit Design Corporation and Madison-based ISG Advisors, LLC. John has more than 30 years of experience in employee benefit and retirement planning consulting, in addition to creating the My Life and Wishes organizer. John and his wife, Michelle, co-founded My Life and Wishes Incorporated, and John currently operates as the chief executive officer of that corporation. So, John, we are so glad to have you here today. Welcome to the Heart of Hospice.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having me. You make me sound old, though. I listened to all those years. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. Has it really been that long?
Right. Seems like just yesterday.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about My Life and Wishes. What is the My Life and Wishes Corporation about?
The entity itself essentially provides an educational platform for people to prepare for their own end of life, everything from what my final wishes are, from my advanced directives to DNRs to do I want to be cremated or buried, the type of service I want, right through all my financial details, where things are located, and also access to any digital or online presences that I have.
Okay, so I've read a little bit about your story and am interested because My Life and Wishes came about because of a personal experience that, you and your wife, Michelle, had. Can you tell us about that?
I can. It was just over 4 years ago on Labor Day. Michelle's father passed away. It was his 63rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
Other than being 88 years old, still living in the home, still in good health, and he passed on his bedroom floor. And you know, when our parents age, every time the phone rings, you always expect, "Is this the call? Is this the call?" This happened to be a beautiful sunny Monday. We were actually playing golf when we got the call and left the balls where they. Where they lay and headed to the house. And this was the first time Michelle or I had ever experienced the situation with a close family member. And so what we really weren't prepared for was, you know, obviously when we arrived at the house, Ted, my father-in-law, was still in the house. The medical examiner was there. The paramedics were there. The police were there. And the barrage of questions start. You know, the first one being, what funeral should we take him to? It's like, we're in a state of shock.
When did you talk about this ahead of time? And no, well, nobody did, right?
No one spoke of this.
Right.
You know, and, you know, multiple funeral homes in town. And within 24 hours, we're at a funeral home that we finally said, you know, let's go to this one. And now we're making more decisions, still in a state of shock. You know, what kind of service? Well, we knew they were at Blessed Sacrament Church, so, well, we'll have a religious ceremony. We're trying to decide on the type of casket for Ted, final resting place, those kind of things. And funeral directors are wonderful, and they're compassionate people, and they help you through. But, you know, at the same time, while they're telling you how sorry they are for the loss, they're also handing you a bill.
Their business is true.
Right. It's still a business.
Right. There's a certain amount of money that's going to be due within the next 30 days.
Right.
Where's that coming from? What kind of assets did Ted still have? Did he have any life insurance policies that were still in force that would cover that? Because in a survey that we had done about 2 years ago, 60% of and our target was baby boomers, which is the 75 million of us that are out there. 60% who had lost someone had to spend some of their own personal money, at least on the front end, in order to take care of final arrangements.
Right. Waiting for the life insurance policy to pay.
Right. And what a lot of people don't know is over $1 billion, with a B, dollars of life insurance has gone unclaimed in the United States because people don't know that it exists. So my tip of the day, if I might,
yes,
is
sure.
If you have a life insurance policy, be sure someone knows it.
Yes. Definitely. And knows where it is.
Well, life insurance companies are great. It's very interesting. You know, they don't have people on staff that perpetually scan the obituaries looking for potential claimants to pay money to. On the other hand, they do have people who are on the phone contacting all of us on a daily basis, reminding us to pay our premiums.
That's right. Funny how that works.
Right. What started out as this beautiful Labor Day turned into the most stressful situation of our time with the 26 to 30 decisions that have to be made within the first 24 hours, that we made the best decisions possible that we hoped would be pleasing to Ted. And from there, once you get through the first few days and Ted was laid to rest, then the real challenges began.
Right. So what needs did you identify that really kind of inspired you to create the My Life and Wishes? This situation that you were faced with was kind of the inspiration for this, wasn't it?
Exactly. Well, what ensued after that, Ted thought he was a fairly organized man. He had a small office in the house that was stacked with papers and file cabinets, and you couldn't see the top of the desk. And, you know, that was his organization. Unfortunately, he took the Da Vinci Code to access that with him. It's funny. People often say to me, it's like, Tanya, you're always making so much fun. You're laughing about this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's a deep subject. It's death, you know.
Right.
We may as well make it, you know, as funny as possible.
But this is true.
But he did, you know. He didn't share any of the information. And so we were left to dig through all of this information as we progressed down the road. You know, where's the will? That took us over a week or two to find it. The funny part was, again, Ted's 88. We found the will, pulled it out. I read through it. I turned to my wife, Michelle. I said, honey, I got some bad news. You're going to have to move to Milwaukee and live with Aunt Jean and Uncle Ted.
So it was a rather
old will. When she was 8 years old.
It was kind of old. And so then we knew his main bank account, but we found a safe deposit box key in his desk, not in an envelope. Assumed it would be at the bank where he had his checking and savings. It was not. Took us another week or two to actually track down and locate and find the bank, which happened to be on the other side of town where he had no other accounts. It's like, why?
Yeah. Right.
Then, since he saved everything, we're calling insurance companies to find out whether these policies that were 10, 20, 30 years old had, you know, still been in force or had been cashed out. Ted also was an IBM guy, so he knew something about computers, and he was on the computer quite a bit. So he paid his bills online, as many of us do today, because right. If we don't pay our bills online and we require them to send us paper, they make us feel like we're the root cause of the destruction of the earth.
Exactly.
And he went right for that. So he had sign-ins. He had bill pay. So we continually searched and tried to access and find passwords and be able to access this information, which, if you don't know challenge questions or login things, become very, very difficult. So to make an excessively long story very short, it took us over 10 months to track down, locate, and close out all of his final affairs. This for an 88-year-old man. I came to the grim realization that if something happened to me or to Michelle, that our kids, who are all just within college age or just out, would have no idea. They would have no clue who our attorney was. They would have no clue if we had a will. They have no idea where we have bank accounts and those kind of things. And I thought, you know, this is crazy. You know, growing up, I'm 55. Born 1961, growing up in a small town in southern New Jersey in the 60s and early 70s. When someone died, settling their final affairs was relatively easy. There was one bank who was up the end of the street.
Right.
There was one or two attorneys in town, so you could figure out who that was. All the important papers were in the desk drawer at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And any bills or obligations that a person had in their life would show up in that funny thing down at the end of the driveway or attached to the front of your house called a mailbox within the next 30 days. And the only thing I get in my mailbox out front anymore is pizza flyers. And once a year, I do get a birthday card from my mother.
Exactly. Things were so simple back then, weren't they?
Right. Today, technology has made our lives so easy, but they've made unraveling them at the end extremely complicated.
So the My Life and Wishes is really designed to help uncomplicate these end-of-life decisions and well, really all of the things that happen at a person's end of life.
Right. Well, the first thing I did was going through this, it was all these aha moments that I would go through. And so I literally sat down, pen in hand, and just started listing everything. And what I wanted to do was create an organizer, which we ultimately self-published on Amazon, that had all the information in there and just give it to our clients who were employers that had anywhere from, 400 to 1,000 employees. Just give it to them so that people be organized, to save your family that added stress. I mean, let's face it, when someone dies, there are some normal emotions, and those normal emotions are sadness and grief. And I'm cool with that. I don't want to change those. Those are part of the natural healing process that we have to go through.
Yes.
However, there are some emotions that aren't normal, and that is confusion, stress, anger, frustration. Those are completely avoidable. And sadly, far too many people, simply because they won't, share their final wishes and let people know where things are, force that on their families, which is painful, and it delays the natural healing process for those that survive. And it's funny because we ask people, why don't you plan for these things? And the answers are so interesting. Someone had said to me in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, they said, well, it's bad luck to talk about death. As if you talk about it, it's going to make it happen.
Right.
It's like, and the only thing I could come up with on the fly was, hey, we talk about sex all the time, but it doesn't make us pregnant.
And I
did get a very funny look when I said that, but you have to find an appropriate analogy, right?
That's right.
But if we look at it and say, look, people have been on the earth, as near as I can figure, about 300,000 years. And, I'm not going to say my statistics are 100% spot on, but so far, as near as I can tell, one out of one of us are going to die.
Are going to die. Yeah, that's right.
And if we understand that and come to the realization that we're not going to be the first one it happens to, the only thing left to do is to say, what do I want that experience to be like for my family when I die? Do I want it to be one where they can properly grieve and move forward swiftly? Or do I want it to be one where I'm going to delay their grieving process and inflict unnecessary pain of stress and time that they may not have?
That's right.
Adding to the grieving process with the complication and the confusion.
Right. Some people say, well, I don't have a lot of stuff. It's not that complicated. It's like, everyone has a lot of stuff. You have no idea how much stuff you have. I'm 55 years old, and I have in excess of 100 online identities or accounts that are out there.
Wow.
How many of us today, when you start to think about anywhere that you've ever ordered from, but even, take the low-hanging fruit, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Netflix. What about your Amazon Prime account?
Sure. Hulu. All that.
Right. Blue Apron, HelloFresh. Someone's going to need to turn off the Blue Apron delivery if I pass away. Otherwise, there's going to be boxes of rotting food stacking up out.
That's right.
And that $59 a week is money that's being taken away from my family. And the two newspapers that I read every morning that don't show up in my driveway, but they show up on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Unless someone knows they exist and how to turn them off, yes. Every month it's more money that my family is not going to get.
You know, I'm not sure that I could just sit down and make a list of all of the different accounts that I have. And so what you're saying is that's what we need to do. We need to sit down and make a list of all these different accounts, the passwords, the usernames, and everything that goes along with it, so that, you know, our family knows about these things and can take care of them if something should happen to me. So is that what My Life and Wishes does? Does it help us to organize all these things?
My Life and Wishes is designed to help you organize every aspect of your life so that at that moment when I pass away, my family will be able to quickly and easily ascertain everything. And beyond my online identities, logins, and passwords, which is critical because, frankly, you know, I'm tired of, every year on LinkedIn, an old friend of mine, Pete, in Milwaukee, LinkedIn sends me a notification to wish him a happy birthday. Pete passed away 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And his account's still there. And all I can think is I hope his other 500 plus connections know he's no longer responding, hey, thanks for the birthday wishes. Yeah. You know, so someone needs to know what to do with those things. But as a very good friend of mine, Nick, had said to me, he said, you know, I wish I had known that Mom wanted to be cremated before I buried her.
Oh, wow.
So it starts with, you know, and he's such a nice guy and he lives knowing that he didn't ultimately honor his mother's final wishes, you know, because she didn't have the conversation with him and he found out, you know, after the fact. So it all starts with, you know, what do I want to happen with me? How is that going to be paid for? Where are the assets? Where are the bank accounts? What are the things that are on auto pay that are going to continue that need to be shut off? Online identities. Do you have a safe deposit box? Yes. Where is it located? Where's the key? Do you have a will? Same questions. And for some of us older people, it's like, you know, who have pets,
yes,
that might outlive us.
Yes.
What do you want to happen to, you know, Fluffy the goldfish, you know? And who's going to take care of them? And have you asked that person? And, you know, if you have one of these rare exotic birds that lives to be like 40 years old that are fairly expensive, have you made a provision in your will or some life insurance for that family member who is going to incur a couple of $1,000s a year for the care, and veterinary and those kind of things for the animal? And it's all those things. And when we have these conversations with people, they say, wow, it's just overwhelming. You know, I don't know where to start. And, you know, I can't possibly do all this. And it's like, I like to say, look at it as a weight loss program. Okay. All of us out there at one point or another in our life have spent massive amounts of time in the gym or starving ourselves to death because we decided, you know what, I need to drop 20 pounds. If you went to a personal trainer and he said, tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up, you'll be 20 pounds lighter, you know, run, because
exactly,
that won't happen.
Yeah.
But what a trainer does say is, do you have 90 days, 12 weeks? You know, that's what we need. And if we take small steps, a chunk at a time, when you wake up 90 days from today, you will be 20 pounds lighter.
Right.
Than you will. And so what I tell people is, with putting together kind of their end-of-life plan, the best way to do it is look at it, and it probably doesn't going to take you 90 days, but, you know, start with the easy stuff. Who are you? Some of your background. You know, one of the things we have to do, you know, 24 hours after a passing is start writing an obituary. And you're in a stressful situation. My mother-in-law, Marie, still 4 years later, says to my wife, Michelle, when she takes her to church on Sunday mornings periodically, you know, I wish we could rewrite Dad's obituary because we forgot this, this, and this. List some of those things out. Do you want to be buried or cremated? How do you want it to be handled? Those kind of things. How's it going to be paid? Start, you know, do the easy stuff. Then start doing some of the account things. 15 minutes today, half an hour tomorrow, a little bit of time each week. you know, 4 or 5 weeks from now, it's done. And it's easy. And then you can keep it up to date.
Eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then once you do all this, tell somebody.
Right. So write it down somewhere, right?
Yes.
Okay. So right. I could get a piece of, legal pad and write all this information down, but there's got to be a better way.
There is a better way, I think. But if people just want to write it down, that's a lot better than what they're doing right now.
Oh, this is true.
Here's the challenge with writing it down. The challenge of just writing it down is Thanksgiving's coming and drunk Uncle Charlie, might go snooping in my desk drawer and find all my passwords. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. The other thing is on the heels of Hurricane Harvey and Irma,
yes.
Maria, Nate,
yes.
The wildfires in Northern California. You know, I talk to people and they say, yeah, I've got my death book, my death file. It's in my desk drawer at home. Millions upon millions of people have lost everything. And so what we're really looking at the My Life and Wishes online platform as is your own personal virtual vault that is safe and secure. All your information is stored. It is with you wherever you are at the touch of a button. Sure, I still have documents in my safe deposit box in other places, but my virtual vault guides my family, if I don't make it home tomorrow, to know here's where this is, here's the passwords, here's the logins. And due to the nature of natural disasters and fires, you can upload into your My Life and Wishes account copies, scanned copies of the important documents.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, kids, here are the active life insurance policies. If you find anything else, they're crap. Don't do them. And, here's where the safe deposit box is. Here's a copy of the will, which is up to date. You don't have to go live with, Aunt Steve and Uncle Bonnie in upstate New York. And everything in one place. And it just makes life so much easier. It's like... I'm trying to coin a new phrase in the world called death etiquette.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I always think of etiquette, and I'm old, so it's like Emily Post, right? We all
right, good manners and sit up straight.
Right, exactly. And so I thought, if she were alive today, because she didn't get to see the world as technologically spot on as it is today, and it's only going to get worse, I think what she would have said was something along the lines of, death etiquette is being thoughtfully prepared for your own passing, to make things easier for family and those you love by leaving clear and very concise instructions in regard to your final wishes, from funeral directions to access to all your important documents, and then ultimately identifying that individual who would be responsible for settling out all the final affairs.
I like that. That's a great description of what we hope always happens.
End of life good manners.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it comes down to.
Right. And I always try and add in, sometimes I forget, but that piece at the end where identifying that responsible individual, because many of us who are in, maybe larger families, Michelle and I have 6 children. We cannot agree on what to have for dinner. We cannot agree on what movie to go see. There's no way that those kids are going to agree that, let's say I'm incapacitated. If I don't have in My Life and Wishes account copy of my advance directive stored where it's easily accessible, here's the problem. My boys are going to say, yep, I remember Dad clearly saying, don't keep me plugged in. Just let me go. My girls say, we can't let Daddy go.
Right.
And that would be the fight akin to, we're all familiar with the Terry Schiavo
yes.
scenario.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's so important to have those conversations and have those advanced directives put in place early. You know, we like to say it always seems too early until it's too late.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing is, as we mentioned earlier, with some of the excuses, people say, well, I have time. Yeah, I'm 55. I have time. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, this is not taxes. You know, taxes, you know, death and taxes, right? It's the only two things. Well, let's talk about those. I have time to do my taxes because April 15th is when they need to be filed. If I want, I can wait till April 15th to sit down and pull my taxes together and get them in the mail without serious consequence.
Right. It's a deadline that you know about.
Exactly. I don't know whether or not today is my last day. None of us do. 7,600 Americans woke up in the United States this morning. They expect they'll do the same thing tomorrow, but they won't.
Right.
The good news is we don't know who they are. That's why we can't wait. We have to be prepared, even if it's a little bit at a time. You know, start with pre-death, advanced directives, living wills, all those kind of instructions so that we avoid the conflict and the family fights that will, in fact, ensue. Then what happens when I die? And then make it easy for the rest of your family by letting them know exactly where everything is so they can turn it off, collect the money that's rightfully due to them, and move on with the grieving process. Again, ours for an 88-year-old man took in excess of 10 months. That scavenger hunt for my own children, if they were trying to locate everything that we have, they would never be able to locate everything. It would simply be impossible.
I think the online presence alone that we have these days, you know, the electronic, all the accounts, I don't even know what accounts my husband has. I wouldn't be able to track all of that. So I can't even imagine trying to do it for someone else.
Right. And many of the younger listeners, you know, within your audience, they may use a password manager, such as Dashlane or 1Pass. And those are great because that'll help family get in. Mm-hmm. But they still have to be able to find the password to your password manager.
You have to have at least one password and log in to find all that.
Exactly. To get things going. So, you know, as I indicated in my book that you mentioned earlier in the show, entitled Click Here When I Die.
Yes, tell us about your book.
Thank you. You know, what's interesting is I had a lot of different titles. Thoughtfully Prepared. You know, do it for love, all these kind of things. And then I just imagined if I walked into Barnes & Noble and that first table where they got new releases and I saw, you know, those titles on a book and then I saw one that said, Click Here When I Die. I thought at least I'd pick it up and look right. And say, what is that, right?
It's attention grabbing.
Right. And the book itself, and the reason I use that title is because that is the basis in the foundation of the My Life and Wishes online platform. Because my children now know, essentially, if something were to happen to me, they can click here when I die. And it will provide them that digital roadmap to everything they're going to need to know. Now, the book itself isn't really about our online platform. So for your listener, you know, the book isn't selling you anything. The design of the book is to get people to have a new conversation. You know, it's okay to talk about death. And not only is it okay to talk about death, it's important and imperative that you do so.
Yes.
For the love of your family.
Yes.
And so we have stories in there from people. We have our story and everything. There's humor throughout the whole book. So it's not one of those Debbie Downers. And you know, we provide some pointers in there to have that conversation. You know, people are like, oh, I don't want to upset the kids. It's like, you don't want to upset them now.
Right. It's going to get worse later if you don't have a plan.
Exactly, Jerry. It's like, so you're going to make it really bad for them, right? That's what you're saying.
I don't know. Sometimes that appeals to me when I think about my kids.
Well, there's a point. Some days, yeah. Right? But, you know, it can be as simple as, look, you know, sitting down with your kids or your spouse or whoever. It's like, you know, I know you don't want to talk about it and we'll just talk for a minute, but you do realize that we're all going to die someday, right? That is followed by the duh, right?
Yes. Yes.
And say, when that happens, guys, I don't want it to be an overly stressful situation. I don't want you trying to find everything and locate who's the attorney and is there insurance and all this other kind of stuff. I have put together a step-by-step roadmap that is accessible to you at that point when I die. All you'll need to do is effectively click here, log in. It will provide you everything you need to know. Now, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, there you go.
And what a simple conversation. It doesn't have to be tearful. It doesn't ring anybody out. It's just a simple conversation.
Exactly. Lighten up. It's only death.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah. So, John, tell us how people can find out more information about your book and about My Life and Wishes. Where can they go online to get more information?
They can go online to Amazon. Obviously, just in the search browser for books, just type in click here when I die. Okay. They will find it. It's available in paperback and Kindle versions for those that like to read on their tablet. We also have available for your listeners, I have it's a white paper or an ebook that's called 10 Things You Need to Know. If nothing else, I encourage the listener to download the ebook and look through it because it gives you everything from, you know, what do you want for funeral plans? Don't forget about government benefits. Don't forget about, you know, Sasquatch, your, you know, bull mastiff terrier, you know, all the things that people think, oh yeah, I didn't think about that is in there. And so by going to mylifeandandwishes.com/podcast, they'll be able to download a copy of that paper.
Okay, we'll put a link in our show notes so that they can just click on that and be taken right to that website.
And one thing I always say is my mission is to get people talking and to help people avoid what we went through. I am always accessible. Any of your listeners can feel free to email me with any questions.
Okay.
Comments.
All right. What is your email address? Can you share that with us?
I can. My email address is John, J-O-N. That's because my dad knocked the H out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, that's bad.
And so it's John@mylifeandwishes.com. And I respond to all my own emails, and I'd be happy for feedback, especially from people that read book. It's interesting. I've gotten great feedback from people on the book. They've shared it with people, which is great because they think, oh, so-and-so needs to read this. And so they give them a copy, which, you know, it's meant to be read, then reread, then share it with somebody. And, but many times as an author, you just don't know what people think, you know, how it's changed their life.
Right.
And if it does, and if anyone reads the book and if anything is life-changing for them, I'd love to know that the small steps that we're making in the process of helping people with planning for end of life and dealing with end of life has made a difference in someone's life.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, John, it has been enlightening to listen to your stories as well as just the information that you have to share with us. We will definitely be putting your website onto our website so that the people can link from there and also on the show notes. So we appreciate that. Do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Last thoughts? Be thoughtfully prepared.
Yes. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
It really is. They just have to do it.
So, John, we focus a great deal on self-care on the Heart of Hospice. So we're not going to let you get away without answering this question. we put our guests on the spot when we do this. So we want to know, because we're always talking about taking good care of yourself, whether you're a hospice professional or a hospice caregiver, an end-of-life caregiver. Talk a lot about healthy self-care and how to maintain those habits. So we would ask you, what's your favorite form of healthy self-care?
My favorite form of healthy self-care. You know, there are many that I get involved in. I'm an exercise enthusiast. I'm an avid golfer. Have taken to meditation just to get quiet and things. But the one thing, if I really put my finger on it, it's hiking. Michelle and I get to spend an enormous amount of time down in Arizona. There are some fabulous places to hike, be it just for an hour or to go out for, you know, half a day. And the exercise and the activity from, you know, moderate to semi-difficult hikes is, you know, good for every muscle in the body. It's wonderful for the cardio system. But most importantly, it's, you know, a huge mental benefit.
Yeah. Mind, body, spirit connection.
Right. You know, and they always say, you know, if you want to change your mental attitude, change your physical state first.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. That's great. John, it has been a joy to be with you today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. And we look forward to having an opportunity to talk with you again sometime.
That sounds great. Jerry and Helen, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, John.
John is full of a lot of good information.
He really is. I learned so many things that I really had not thought about. And we have conversations about end-of-life conversations, why those discussions are important, all the time.
Right. But just didn't think about it in the same terms that he's talking about.
No, all the different layers. And, you know, you think, okay, well, this is in my safe deposit box, but where's the key? And right. Who can get into it?
Right. And do they know which bank it's in?
Right. You know, is it stored safely? Have we seen that key in a few years? Maybe exactly. Not.
Exactly. And so let's say you need to find your life insurance policy. Where is that? Is it in the safe deposit box? Probably should be. Or maybe it got stuck in a filing cabinet somewhere. See, all of these things, they can be in so many different places. And I love the fact that this particular service actually puts all of this into one place.
Right. He said you can scan in whatever document you had. Say you had a deed to a piece of land, piece of property, or a title to a car. You just scan it and it uploads it in to the website. It's amazing. Insurance policies, wills, all sorts of things.
All of that can be scanned in and used. Of course, there's plenty of things on the website that are already there for you to fill in.
So we would really recommend that you go to mylifeandwishes.com, and is spelled out, A-N-D, and check out the services that they have to offer. They also have an ebook, a short ebook that you can download for free. It helps to sort of give you some momentum, give you a little boost getting started on gathering those things. Which questions do you need to ask? Which things are appropriate for your finances and your estate for you to put together?
So the name of that ebook is 10 Things You Need to Know.
It's pretty straightforward.
It really is. And John's a straightforward kind of guy.
Well, and I think we each heard at least 10 things we needed to know just from the interview with him.
Oh, definitely.
I was really impressed. On the website, you can also subscribe to their monthly newsletter. And you can find their blog there. Looks like they release about 2 blogs a month. And they're written by the My Life and Wishes team and by John's wife, Michelle, too.
Okay, so it's a great resource page that's there. And one of the things that he told us, he would also like to hear from our listeners.
Right, he wants to hear feedback.
Right, so he gave us his email address, and he says he answers all of his emails personally. So his email address is John, J-O-N, John@mylifeandwishes.com.
So be sure and visit our website at theheartofhospice.com. You can find more resources there for hospice, information about caregiving, and of course, information about self-care. And if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you can receive regular updates about the blog, which comes out weekly on Sundays, and about the podcast.
We also encourage you to email us as well about any questions that you may have, any comments or even suggestions about things you would like to hear on the podcast. So for personal responses, send us an email to host@theheartofhospice.com.
So remember, no matter who you are or where you are in your hospice journey, you are the heart of hospice.